Good morning. It is a Tuesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Alan, on this Tuesday, let's talk Supreme Court. They have declined to hear the Trump administration's appeal of a federal judge's ruling that requires the government to keep the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, so-called DACA program, going.
This is what we call, in my childhood, a double, triple, quadruple fake-out. The fact of the matter is that the Supreme Court knows full well that the DACA program is a political problem. They want this political problem to be solved. Instead of giving extraordinary relief to the president and saying, okay, we're going to substantiate your program, because the president himself has said he wants DACA solved, even though there are a lot of people, including myself, who do not believe him. And therefore, the court comes along and they say, in some wisdom, no, we'll let this take its course and go through the lower courts and the appeals process. And there may well have been a wink and a nod here, because under normal circumstances, this Supreme Court has been behaving more and more like a super Senate, you know, politics, Republicans and Democrats predictably splitting along particular lines. And so what we have here is a sense that maybe we should just forego that this time and let it take its course. And when we have to decide it, we will. And then I suspect it's going to be decided 5-4 because there's a Republican majority on the court. Now, there'll be many people who write to me who complain that this is biased, that this isn't the way that things work. No, it is the way that things work. It's why McConnell and his group made sure that Judge Gorsuch got on and that the Obama appointee did not, because they wanted that sure vote. And the next question I'm sure you're going to ask me is going to have to do with that very same court and another decision.
Indeed, you are right on. And that is, before the court yesterday, it started the issue of the Janus case. The political clout of public labor unions in New York and around the country is being challenged in the U.S. Supreme Court, a challenge labor leaders say is coming from their political opponents. This comes from a case out of Illinois. And you did an hour-long interview that will air Thursday at 1 o'clock with the head of the New York AFL-CIO, as well as the New York State United Teachers, who are not happy about this.
Nor should they be. This court is going to come down 5-4. It's going to be up to Gorsuch himself, the new appointee. There are people who say, well, it all rests on Gorsuch because we don't really know which way he's going to go. Yeah, we know which way he's going to go. He's going to go with Trump, the man who put him there. It's going to be a 5-4 decision, and it's going to mean that unions, which have so-called agency shops, in other words, you work in New York State, you're going to be represented by that union, all the benefits they get you are there, and they're going to take a small amount out of your salary to support the union. And this is, of course, objected by Janus, who says this is a matter of freedom of speech. I don't want them representing me, and I don't want them talking for me. Look, the American people don't like what happened to unions. It may not be fair, but they don't. The labor leaders I've been talking to say in the land of Trump, things have gotten better. More people are joining unions again. We'll see. But in any case, this decision is almost a sure thing. They are going to say, if you don't want to pay them, you don't have to pay them in order to be in the union. And a lot of Americans will agree with that. On paper, that's a position that makes a certain amount of sense. But in fact, in the way it works right now, this is all being sponsored by the right wing in America. They are putting up the money for this law case. They want to make sure that the unions are destroyed. And that's what's going on here.
What's going on in China? Here's the headline. With surprise power grab in China, Xi joins strongman era. The disclosure from the New York Times that the Communist Party was abolishing presidential term limits, effectively allowing President Xi Jinping to lead indefinitely, the latest sign of global tilt toward authoritarianism.
Yep, we have it right here in the United States. I'm quite sure that if Trump had his way, that's where we would be heading, and which is where, in some cases, we are heading. And when you look at the list of friends that Trump has, including people like Duterte and the Philippines, it is really very scary. I'm not surprised that the communist system, which is, of course, a dictatorship, no matter what they say, the one thing they had going for them is this idea that you couldn't be the head for more than two terms. Look, we have a president of the United States who single-handedly can start a nuclear war. That's an awful lot of power. And there should always be restrictions on what a president can do. I don't care what political party they're in. But when we see this in China, it's not surprising. We've seen it with Stalin. We saw it with Mao Zedong. And it is almost predictable when a strong leader takes charge. Remember, this is a guy who has built his presidency almost as Mao Zedong did, the same way, with a sort of cult of personality. Even though he rejects the term, it's been happening.